who, you know, normally when we think about prophecy, we think about the Rambam. Maimonides tells us, this is a quote, this is chapter 7 on Yisodei HaTorah. He says, right at the beginning, it's a chapter that discusses prophecy, who deserves to become a prophet, and the difference between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and the other prophets. So it begins, paragraph 1, right, Halacha Aleph. One of the bases of the religious faith is to know that God endows certain people with prophecy. But prophecy only comes to the wise, the Chochem, right, who's acquired excellence in Chochmah. Godoil b'chochmah. It's got to be a Chochem, but not just a Chochem, it's got to be Godoil b'chochmah. And he's got to have powerful character, and he's got to be somebody who never ever follows his inclinations into anything base, or his complete control of himself, and he knows his own mind, and his intellect is superior. Da'atoy rechovo, and it's got a very proper mind, and a person who's filled with all these characteristics, and has got his whole in his body, then he can go into paradise if he's drawn to these, and with his very intellect can acquire these, intellectual gifts, and he becomes holier and then separated from the common folk who keep on going in their mundane thoughts, and he continues, spitzel tzichos, he keeps on polishing himself and training his mind not to have any kind of trivial thought at all. Nothing worldly or mundane, nothing to do with time, just he trains his mind not to think about anything except higher things, and then he gets drawn to the higher mind, and he connects beneath the throne of glory, and then he starts to understand these esoteric, pure and holy forms, and he sees the wisdom of God in creation everywhere, from the highest heaven to the lowest tabur ha'aretz, and he sees God's greatness and everything, and then the Ruach HaKodesh, Shor Olav, comes to rest upon him, and then he becomes a prophet. I'm not going to argue with the Rambam, but this Maimonidean picture of who the prophet is and what kind of life you have to lead to become a prophet, it doesn't fit in with what happens this week with Moshe, with Moses. And here we are at the beginning of Exodus, and you know, Moses is the main man from now on until the end of the Torah. He's everywhere, right? So the Rebbe Rabbunim, and I think when people write theses about the Rebbe Rabbunim and how smart he was, and how, you know, Pshischa becomes the Torah of Emes, and da 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 da, I think what's missed is that there is a radical, or as Julian says, a radical new paradigm at work here. And he's gone back to the text, and he says, the Torah tells us that Moshe Vayenaeg, as Soin Chosna, he leads the flock of his father-in-law, Achar Hamidbar. The phrase Achar Hamidbar doesn't really have a translation, unless the King James has a very interesting way of looking at it. If Kedem, which means before, equals the east, then Achar, which means after, is the west. So then it would mean that Moshe takes the flock, he pastures the flock of his father-in-law, meaning he goes west. Very interesting way of looking at it. The Gemara says, Acha mira yofe, he goes after better pasture. So the word after is like in the English, I went after it, right? I went looking for something. You say, he's gone after a better pasture for his flock. So that's the meaning that Moshe goes for this better pasture. And because the Gemara says, because he's such a getraya pastor, he's such a trustworthy shepherd, so God reveals himself to him and says, you're going to be the shepherd of my people. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, essentially, what qualifies Moshe for prophecy is nothing intellectual. It is because Moshe does what he does with excellence. And that's the connection the Rebbe Rabbunim says. If you look at the verses, it says, Vayinaig es tzoyin acha b'mid, es tzoyin acha hamidbo, and he leads the flock to better pastures in the wilderness. Vayovoy el haru elikim chorev, and he comes to the mountain of God, to Choreb, which is Mount Sinai. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, you see, it doesn't say he went to the mountain of God. It doesn't say he went to Sinai. Because the truth is, you can't go to Sinai. Who can become a prophet? Like, who can approach God and say, call me, please. Please call me to the prophecy. Please call me. Nobody. There's no such thing. So the Torah says, Moshe is just doing what Moshe does. He's a shepherd. What do shepherds do? They find pasture for the flock. You know who Moshe was? He was special because he went looking for better pasture. Immediately he finds himself, Vayovoy Haralikim. That is how you find yourself at the mountain of God. By doing what you do with excellence. And the Rebbe Rabbunim refers to it as Maase Tachtoin, lower deeds. Because there's really no way to describe being a shepherd in intellectual terms, right? I mean, you know, you can be the best shepherd in the world and still what you're dealing with is little things with four legs that eat on one hand and they poop on the other end, and in between they get diseases or they get fall into things or they get eaten by other animals. I mean, you know, there's nothing about being a shepherd that attests to a person's intellectual abilities or capabilities or potential. But you know something? To be a shepherd is to be able to do things for creatures. Creatures that aren't even capable, really, of gratitude. You know, a sheep, it feels better, it goes to eat. You know, it feels ill, it lies down. You treat it with whatever it is, turpentine or whatever, and it feels better, it will just leave you and go and eat again. It's not like... it's a pretty dumb animal, you know? But you have the ability to do something, to have a relationship with the animal like you would have a relationship with a garden. Anybody who's a gardener knows that you have a relationship with the plants. And you know, you plant some of them, you plant three little seedlings, two of them flourish, one of them dies. I mean, it's not, you know, there's not much you can do, right? In being a gardener, you're still faced with nature, which isn't always, you know, doesn't always do what you want. And the same thing, being a shepherd, you know, it's a little bit like being a doctor. You do your best, you do whatever, but nature will still do what nature does. You know? Novus, being shepherd means that you can look after creatures, lebedige, living creatures. You can be a parent and a provider and a guardian and all the things that a shepherd is. And the Rebbe Rabbunim says that is That's the greatness of Moshe. That's how he arrived at Har Elikim. So if we compare what the Rebbe Rabbunim says is the key to prophecy with what Maimonides says is the key to prophecy, we have come full circle. Because, you know what, anybody can be excellent at what they do. And in being excellent to what you do, you open yourself up to Ruach HaKodesh. You know, I was with one of the Rebbes, one of the Groyser Rebbes, in a car. And I'm going to Union City, New Jersey, and the Rebbe was talking on the way, and somebody mentioned the great Chazan, I'm having a senior moment. Someone mentioned the great Chazan, not Kusevitsky, shame. The Chazan who used to, I can't remember, his name will come to me in a moment. So this Chazan, he heard a Bob of a Niggin. He heard the Bob of a Niggin, it's either Mo'oshiv or Koriboin, one of these very complicated Mojitsi Nigunim. And when he heard it and he understood it and I guess he learned it, he said, you know, the Rebbe composed this Niggin with Ruach HaKodesh. So it's one of those Hasidic, everybody knows that this famous Chazan, he said that the Mojitzi Niggin was written with Ruach HaKodesh. So this, I'm in the car going to New Jersey with this Groyser Rebbe, and he said it over in the name of this Chazan. And then he said, but how would he know? He's just a Chazan. How would he know what Ruach HaKodesh is when he meets it? Right? Like, who gave him the permission to say that something is written with Ruach HaKodesh or not? You know, at the time, I knew there was something not right about that. Because, you know, here with this Rebbe Rabbunim's Torah here telling us how Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a Novi, becomes a prophet, yeah, of course you can. The Chazan, of course, is Yossele Rosenblatt. The name just came to me, right? Yossele Rosenblatt said that this Niggin is written with Ruach HaKodesh. Well, you know something? You can be so excellent in what you do that the divine flows through you and you recognize divinity, especially Yossele Rosenblatt recognizing the divinity in a piece of music, a piece of Jewish music, a piece of Hasidic. But you know, we've become so, you know, champions of the intellect that we've lost faith in what we ourselves know and in our own journey towards excellence and the spiritual and the divine and the Shefa and our own prophecy. I once heard from the brother of Reb Shloime Kalbach. He had a twin brother, identical twin, called Eli Chaim. And this is a Torah I heard from him. On Yontif, when we take out the Torah, there's a special prayer that we add that we don't normally say on Shabbos. It starts with Hashem, Hashem, Kerachem, V'chanan. And then there's a a meditation, Ribbono Shel Olam, and it contains in it some very strange bakoshos. We're asking, essentially, we're saying to God, V'yikuyim bonu, it says, please give us the merit that your Shechina should rest upon us. V'hoifa aleinu ruach chochma obina, and may v'yiskayim bonu, may there be fulfilled in us the verse that says, and the Spirit of God rests upon him, a spirit of chokhma and bina, a spirit of advice, gevura, and then a spirit of das, and yiras Hashem, fear of God. Now everybody who recognizes this pasuk, v'nocha olav ruach Hashem, ruach chokhma bina, ruach etz gevura, knows that this, the Gemara says, that this is referring to Mashiach. Mashiach is the one who's going to be v'hareichoi b'yiras Hashem, is moirach v'adoim. Mashiach will know just by his sense of smell if something's true or not, if something's real or not, if something's honest, if something's kosher, if something is holy. He'll go, and he'll sniff and he'll know, right? Because ruach and ruach and nochamo ruach and vidur ruach, ruach doesn't just mean spirit, ruach also means like the smell of something. So what are we saying? Rabbi Kalibach says, well, I'm asking to be Mashiach. I'm saying, because that's really his view, yikuyim bonu, may it be fulfilled in us. And then at the end, it says, v'chein yirotzoin, may it be your will, shetzakeinu la'asus ma'asim tovim, that you give us the merit of doing good deeds. There's hardly anywhere, if anywhere, that we ask God to give us the merit to do good deeds. You want to do good deeds? Go do good deeds. Who's stopping you? Why do we ask three times a year on these special occasions? And what's the connection between asking for good deeds and asking that God give us the merit to, you know, have the spirit of Chochma and Bina and Das and fear and this and all this, which is what Mashiach is endowed with? Why am I asking God to endow me? So Rabbi Kalibach says that it's the same thing. Every one of us has within us Mashiach. And you know what it is? It's what you're good at. It's your good deed. It's your excellence. And you know, we get so caught up in what's happening in the world, we don't realize our own excellence. And we get sidetracked and think we're supposed to be doing something else instead of what we're good at. And many of us end up spending a life where we abandon our excellence in the pursuit of something that we're told is more important, more financially gainful, or more proper, more acceptable. And so here, three times a year, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, there's one aspect of me that's Mashiach. It can save the whole world. And what is it? It's my Ma'asim Tovim. It's my good deed. And you know, I can go a whole life without doing my good deed, unless you help me. Because the Satan is going to try and stop me from doing my good deed. He's going to try and stop me from doing what I'm excellent at doing. So I pray for the merit of actually pursuing my own excellence, which is that spirit of the Mashiach inside me. It's a really beautiful pshat. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what his excellence? His excellence is at being a shepherd. And the lesson is that of all the jobs a person can do, being a shepherd is probably the best way of attaining prophecy. Because he was a shepherd, Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd, David HaMelech was a shepherd. How much better provenance does prophecy need than the fact that shepherds do it? And you know what? The Rambam wasn't a shepherd. There's this week, the Rebbe Rabbunim, you know, sometimes I noticed he'll start off in a Torah, and there's an essence, an essential understanding that follows with this Torah through the whole week. So I thought we would look at it. You know, very often in Kabbalah we talk about Chochmah and Bina. And of course, the more you talk about it, the more you realize, I have no idea what it is. What's Chochmah? How do I get Chochmah? What kind of thinking, as Kaplan would say, is Chochmah consciousness? How do I get Chochmah consciousness? So this week, the Torah tells us, Shifra and Pua, they were the two Jewish midwives, and Pharaoh said to them, and it will be when you see the women in childbirth, Bayaletchen esha ivriyos, reisen alav noim, in bain here if it's a boy, vahamiten oise, kill it, in basu vachoyen, you can let the girls live. Says Vatireno Amialdos Isulikim, but the midwives, they feared God. Veloy Osu, and they didn't do, Kaashe Dibe Alehen Melech Mitzrayim. Like Pharaoh, king of Egypt, spoke at them. It doesn't say spoke to them. Kaashe Dibe Lohem. It says Kaashe Dibe Alehen, at them. So the Gemara says, Gemara in Sota, from here we learn that Pharaoh tried to get them to sin, but they didn't. They didn't even feel a pull, because he didn't speak to them. He doesn't say Kashid Dibel Lohem, like he spoke to them. He didn't even speak to them. He spoke at them, because he thought he was speaking to them. They didn't even hear him. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, imagine you're about to touch something and it's red hot, right? So you're about to grab hold of it, the steam pipe, right? And your mind snatches your hand back without even saying hello to you. It just pulls your hand back, right? Your conscious mind was going to grasp that hot thing. Your hand pulled back. What part of you snatched the hand back? He says, that's Chochmah. That's Chochmah consciousness. There is a part of you that's watching that you may not even be aware of, right? But it has automatic reactions. What you feel are automatic reactions. It's possible that you can go back and look at it and you'll see that there was a thought process, but the thought process happened in such a way that it happened so fast that you, in your conscious processing, didn't have a chance to interfere with it, and it didn't ask you permission, just said hot, pull back, and it happened so fast and it felt like your hand snatching itself back, right? That kind of thinking is Chochmah thinking. When you put your hand towards something that might be very hot, could be, and you're thinking to yourself, is it, isn't it? And you know how your hand is sort of like, is it going, isn't it? You're pushing it forward, but that's Bina. So the Rebbe Rabbunim brings a Gemara. The Gemara says, Imri lechochma achoisiat. Tell wisdom, you're my sister. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Tell wisdom, you're my sister. If, like my sister, I know that she's forbidden to me, that's Chochmah. It's hard to understand what it means, right? So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, if somebody should say, you know, your sister's really beautiful, why don't you go out with your sister on a date? It's like, you know, it's like the person's mind doesn't even have to make a cheshbin, doesn't even have to like start thinking, is it right, is it wrong, is it going to work? It's like it's rejected. In the same way that if you reach for something and your hand gets snatched back. So chokhmah is knowing something is wrong at such a deep level that you don't even have to think about it. When someone suggests it to you, your mind recoils without you even having to have had a thought. That's chokhmah. If you have to think it through, somebody says, do such and such a thing, and then you think it through and say, oh, no, I don't want to do such a thing. That's Bina. So now, the Rebbe Rabbunim says, now we can understand why Chochmah is associated with Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven. Because it looks like fear of heaven. Because some things are so ingrained in you as being dangerous or hot or wrong or anathema or prohibited, that when they come, they don't even come into your consciousness. As they approach your consciousness, it's already rejected. And that's who Miriam and her mother Yocheved were when Pharaoh said to them, kill the boys. It's like it didn't even, their mind literally recoiled from the suggestion. Not, they didn't have to think about, is it permitted or isn't it? And that's why Chochmah and Yiras Shamayim go together. And that's why the Rebbe Rabbunim says, it says, V'tichayeno es hayalodim, and they allowed the children to live, because it says, Chochmah t'chaye es ba'aleho, whoever has Chochmah has life. Because you know something? If you look at the mind, and you ask, where in the mind is consciousness? The truth is, there is no place in the mind which is consciousness. The idea of the soul and stuff, you know, this is a very crude way of looking at how the mind works. You know, there's a part of the mind that watches the mind. There's a part of the mind that watches how the part of the mind watches the mind. And there's a part of the mind that watches like how the body is in the this, but it's all the mind, right? We're happy to call one the soul and one the nefesh and the ruach and the neshama. There's a part of the mind that makes judgments. And there's a part of the mind that processes data. And there's a part of the mind that is aware all the time of, is the body going into a danger or isn't it? You know, and we're not always in charge, so to speak. We're not always watching from that vantage point of view, unless it's absolutely necessary for us to go into that consciousness. But going into that consciousness is going into Chochmah consciousness. So Miriam and her mother Yocheved, they are there. That's their consciousness. And so the Torah tells us that Pharaoh couldn't even get through to them, didn't even make an impression on them. Their mind recoiled before their ears even heard the instruction to kill the boys. Right? Now, the Rebbe Rabbunim asks a good question. The Gemara says, God says to Moshe, draw close. Moshe kind of sees the burning bush, right? Moshe turns aside to have a look, and then he sees, and then he turns his face away. Ki yore mehabit. He didn't want to look at God. This is in chapter 3 of Exodus here. It says, and a malach appears in the burning bush. Moshe sees the burning bush and it's burning, it's not consumed. So he says, I'm going to turn and see this great sight. Why isn't the bush consumed? And God sees that Moshe's turned aside and he calls to him, says, Moshe, Moshe. Moshe says, here I am. Then God says, I'm the God of your father, God of Avram, God of Yitzhak, God of Yaakov. It says, Vayaste Moshe Ponov. Moshe hid his face. Kiyore mehabit el holikim, because he didn't want to look at God. He was afraid. So the Gemara says, because Moshe hid his face, and because he was afraid and he didn't look, so the Torah tells us, Utmunas Hashem Yabit, that Moshe was given the gift later that he was allowed to see God. So the Rebbe Rabbanim says, wait a minute, if looking at God is not a good thing, then why is Moshe later given vision of God? If looking at God is a good thing, then why is Moshe rewarded for not looking at God? Because Moshe didn't look, so then later he gets shown. That doesn't make sense. Either looking is good or looking is not good. So the Rebbe Rabbanim says, and this is something that we've learned in the Sefer Yetzirah. He says, there's different kinds of looking. If you look with Chochmah, if you observe something in Chochmah consciousness, and here it's like you have to make a big jump, I guess. We were saying a moment ago, Chochmah consciousness is being in that place where you recoil from things even before they approach because you're so conscious. In other words, you don't have to be processing. You're so in touch with who you are, what your space is, and so forth, and what you know, and your sense of right and wrong, and boundaries, and so forth, that if something evil comes towards you, it's like it can't even approach because you've already recoiled, right? So, now the Rebbe Rabbanim says, if you know something, if you're learning something new, but while you're learning it, you're not thinking about it, you're experiencing it, that's also Chochmah consciousness. If while you're experiencing something, you're thinking about yourself experiencing something, that's Bina consciousness. And we learned this in Embracious, and we were talking about Adam, and what was the greatness of Adam before his sin. Why God says, "Hein ha Adam hoyo ke echad mimenu." Now man has become like one of us, because Adam was so great before he ate from the tree of knowledge, that he experienced everything, including God, as a stream of experiences. But he didn't know that he's learning things. He didn't know that he's experiencing things. He was just experiencing. That, you know, it's very hard for us to do that. And in fact, Rebbe Rabbanim says that human beings can never get back to that place again where they can experience things without part of the mind observing and standing aside and processing. Oh, I'm having a great time. Oh, I'm going to tell people about this great time that I'm having. Ah, I better remember this because I want to tell somebody about this, right? When I experience life that way, that's not godlike, and that's not Adam Arishan-like, and it's definitely not Chochmah consciousness. Chochmah consciousness is when I experience my life in such a pure way that it happens, and it just happens. It happens to me, and I'm a player in it. I'm not an observer in it. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe Rabbunim says, when it says Vayaster Moshe Esponov, it doesn't mean that he didn't look at God, he didn't look at what was happening. But Ponov here, his face, means that he turned himself off. He switched himself off. He didn't watch what was happening at the burning bush, like somebody saying, I better remember as many details of this as because I gotta, you know, tell people about it, or you know, that part of him that stands aside and processes the Bina consciousness was completely gone. Because Moshe Rabbeinu stood in front of God at the burning bush the way Adam Arishon stood in Gan Eden in front of God. And that's Bischa, and the merit of the fact that Moshe hid his face, meaning he hid his personal whatevers, his issues or his development or his personality, it was gone. He was in the moment there the way, I guess, a child is. There's no sense of the adult that processes and stands at the side and you know, ego. I don't know what the words are here, but the Rebbe Rabbunim says that's the meaning of the greatness of Moshe, for which Moshe is rewarded. And then he says, that's why Moshe gets called Vayikro. Vahavein, understand this, ki ef shelefarish yos. I can't tell you any more than this. And in fact, by the when the Rebbe Rabbunim was explaining what it was that Adam, the level that he had, he also uses the same v'dvorim elu amukim. These are so deep. Ve ef shelefarishim yosa. I can't really explain. I can't go any deeper. And when you think about that, this is written in the 1820s, that it's a very modern understanding of consciousness and the mind, and that the true mind is the one that is 100% present in the moment and isn't either storing it up for unloading later or in any way thinking. In fact, the Rebbe Bunim says she called chelke hanefesh, because all parts of this of the mind are in the chachma. They are thinking about what's happening. V'nimtza, and so she gam yediyah loy hoyra. There's no knowledge. Adam Arishon doesn't know in that moment that he's learning something, that he's processing something. And that was for him, his whole life could have been that way. We could all have been that way. But instead we got into the good and bad and so on. And you know, we're never going to get back to be able to. But Moshe Rabbeinu did get back. He didn't say to himself, "Ooh, I'm seeing a burning bush." He wasn't. He was just watching what was going on. And what I want to say is that this ability of Moshe Rabbeinu to be in the moment and to just experience what was happening to him in the purest way, this is also a part of his excellence that went along with his being a shepherd. And perhaps it's a corollary of being a shepherd, that you really have to have all your wits about you, like in modern times being a racing car driver, you know, that you really have to be on. And all your senses have to be heightened. And maybe that's to be a shepherd. And be a good shepherd, you have to have like eyes in the back of your head kind of thing. You know, I don't know. But that's a thing that Moshe has. I just want to end by saying that all of us, each of us, we have areas that we have excellence. You know, and the only way that we're going to get wherever it is we need to go is by following the spirit in the excellence, and the divine flows through us, and those are our masim toivim, and that's the spirit of the Mashiach that flows through every creature in the world that can save the world. And I bless you and me to attain that and to get back to where we're supposed to be.